Oil is, as in the opening comment said, that since June it has fallen 25%. Yes, in the short term, it will have an impact of certainly on Iran and Russia. But how long will Saudi be able to sustain that particular policy, or will the market itself move forward and prices would increase? Only time will tell us. But I think it's a very interesting policy that Saudi is trying to apply. It makes no sense at all. Perhaps it makes sense to the Saudi partners in Washington why this is being done.
Right. You say only time will tell. Well, maybe only temperature will tell once the weather gets colder how this is going to proceed. Let's take a quick time out right now, take a listen to some of the viewer comments, and then we'll come back to Lawrence Corp with a question.
I think that they are the only thing standing between the Zionists and world domination. I hope they succeed. Both have common interests in the energy sector, Caspian Sea, common security needs as well as neighbors. Iran and Russia need to sustain good relations. Both countries have been on the right side of history in relation to the illegal invasion in Iraq, Syria, and Libya, and I hope they continue with similar foreign policy views. Russia is on the right path, making new allies and exploring new markets. The US-led sanctions will eventually be harmless to the Russian economy. Brazil, India, China, there are plenty of markets ready to do business. Buy gold and silver, cash out investments. The oil dollar is going to die and gold reserve dollar will return. China buying 200 tons of gold and Russia 500 tons from Mali. It's not just a coincidence. We live in a multipolar world. Someone needs to put limits on the expansionist interests of the United States and Israel. China, Vietnam, Iran, and Malaysia. Half of the world's population. I can't see sanctions. I can see that Europe will not have gas this winter. As an American, I personally believe that the United States should lift the sanctions and learn how to work with other nations who do not necessarily agree on everything.
Lots of viewer comments there. Lawrence Corp, do you really think sanctions are working when it comes to Russia? I mean, let's look at last week alone. Russia and China signed over 40 agreements that provide Russian firms with billions of dollars worth of credit, which obviously Russia is in need of. And of course, we know about that strategic partnership deal in the energy sector in the form of gas with China. So are the sanctions really working when it comes to Russia?
Well, in the short term, they're not, but I think in the long term, they will. For example, if you look at the value of the ruble compared to the dollar before the Ukrainian situation arose, it was like 25 or something. Now it's 1 to 40. If you take a look, for example, at the Russian growth, I mean, their GDP had been growing like 5 or 6%. Now it's less than 1%. In fact, their defense minister just came out and said, we can't afford to modernize our military like we had planned because of the GDP not growing. So I think in the long term, yeah, and I think it's also going to hurt, as has been pointed out, the global, it is a global economy. The Europeans are going to have some cutback as well because they are more involved with trading with Russia. But I do think in the long term they're going to have an effect. Even that deal they signed with China for the energy was great for China. It was not too good for Russia. They didn't get what they had normally been getting for their energy.
Well, let's go on with this sanctions regime that the U.S. Exercises, Shabir Rizvi. How much longer are they going to continue doing this? They've been doing it against Iran. Russia is now in the picture. We know the pivot to Southeast Asia, it was supposed to happen. I don't know where it went. We're looking at the Middle East. It seems like there's a re-pivot back into the Middle East. But, you know, China down the road, sanctions on, and I'm talking hypothetically speaking, I mean, they're going to be, isn't there going to be a time where firms are going to say, you know what, ultimately, maybe it's not just worth investing in the United States when you have these big countries being on sanctions list of the United States?
That's a very interesting angle of questioning, Kaveh. I think has to be looked at. Most of the businesses have become global. Whether it's Microsoft or any other sort of global player, manufacturing has been moved to China by a lot of the companies. IT back services, back office services operate from India. Living in London, we see, I receive daily at least half a dozen calls from India for companies selling XYZ products, services, and so on. So one can see where the sort of movement of services is going. America over the last 10 years has lost about 10 million people who have gone on unemployment because of the jobs moving towards east. So a lot of the global players are certainly operating from regions as far afield as Indonesia, Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand, you name it. People are sort of, or companies are moving out of Europe and America. So that's one aspect that soon a lot of companies will realize that it's a lot better to do trade where, or do manufacturing where the costs are lower. But at the same time, the local, what is called the demographic dividend is now being paid, is benefiting both India and China with large domestic populations where consumptions can take place. In the past, it was seen that nations and companies would want to export to USA because it was a consumer-led boom all the time. But when you have populations in other countries, in the BRIC nations, these nations are coming together. As you know, earlier this year, the BRIC nations themselves had a top-level meeting in Brazil where they have decided to set up a bank in Shanghai to challenge the IMF and the World Bank. And at the same time, the trading that's taking place between India, Russia, China, Iran, and all the other nations, South Africa, is really creating an economic dynamics which I don't think Washington will be able to control or manage. What they can do is obviously apply sanctions, but those sanctions, as I said earlier, it's really like cutting one nose to spite one face, because it doesn't work. In the short term, it looks, yes, fine. And even in the short term, we are facing problems in Europe because of these sanctions being continuously applied towards Russia and Iran.
And of course, you mentioned the bank. There has been talks between Iran and Russia, Lawrence Korb, about establishing this joint bank, an effort to multiply bilateral trade and bypass these sanctions. And also, in a sense, not to do trade in the currency of the dollar. Do you think that the dollar will be threatened by these types of efforts, joint banks that Russia is now in talks with Iran and in talks with BRIC countries, etc.?
No, in fact, if anything, the dollar's becoming stronger because compared to a lot of countries, even including China, where their economic growth has slowed down, the United States is doing remarkably well. Our unemployment is now below 6%. Our deficit has come down, from over our annual deficit over $1 trillion to a couple of hundred million. So no, we're actually doing better. Would we like to do better? Sure. Would we like the rest of the world to do? And it is a globalized economy. But right now, the United States is adjusting. We're not dominating, we're adjusting. One of the reasons we're increasing our oil production is so we'll be less dependent on oil from the Middle East, which means we will not have to get involved as much as we have had to up to this current time.
Very well. I got 30 seconds for you, Shabir Rizvi. By the way, Lawrence Korb, that 6% unemployment rate is up for discussion, maybe at another debate. But Shabir Rizvi, do you think that both Russia and Iran are going to contribute to what is now becoming evident, a multipolar world?
it definitely is a multipolar world, without doubt, both politically and certainly very much economically. Just want to make a quick comment on, obviously, as you said, it's a different program, but the jobs that have been created in the USA are part-time McDonald University-type jobs, which have no long-term career prospects, no sustainable job creation is taking place in the USA or Europe, for that matter. So long-term jobs are moving towards the East, where the economic activity for the next few decades is likely to be.
Very well. Thank you very much. Political commentator Shabir Rizvi talking to us there from London, former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense Lawrence Korb, a pleasure talking to you there from Washington. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tahweh and the entire team in the capital of Tehran, it's goodbye. Thanks.